This morning we're at the last part of the mission statement, and that is to share the word with our Southside neighborhood and beyond. In order to study this, we're going to look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 27 through 42. As we look at this, let me just kind of bring you up to date on this context here. This is where Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. He goes through Samaria, and he goes to the village of Sychar. And he's tired and thirsty, so he stays at a well, and the disciples go into town to purchase food. While they're in town, what is known as the woman at the well comes to draw water. And Jesus strikes up a conversation with her, a very interesting conversation, and basically he confronts her with the truth about her life. And so, as a result of that, she is somewhat troubled, I guess I should say. And then she realizes, and as Jesus reveals himself to her as the Christ, she leaves her water pot and goes to the village and tells the people. And this is where we pick the story up, where the woman leaves Jesus. And we're going to see what happens to this and the lessons for us today. So let us pray before we read and study the Word. Father in heaven, thank you that we may worship you now through the reading and teaching of your Word. And I pray that everything that we've accomplished in the worship service to this point has been pleasing and honoring to your holy and majestic name. And now as we continue in worship, please continue to keep the evil one from us. Help us to focus on you and your word as you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand it, how it applies to us this day. We pray and I pray that your children would be spiritually refreshed and renewed, and that those without Christ would come to know him as Savior. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning in verse 27. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or, "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Amen. You may be seated. Well, the disciples come back with a bag of burgers and some fries, Coke Zero. "Eat, Rabbi." And Jesus says, "I have food to eat that you don't know of." and they look at each other. Can't you just see these guys? Somebody bring him something to eat. I mean, we went into town. What's going on here? We think temporally. Jesus teaches spiritually. And they missed it again. And sometimes you and I miss it as well. And he goes on to talk about reaping and sowing and the responsibility we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the disciples are off base here. And the woman goes into the village and she takes this message to the village, to the people there. I've just met a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The Messiah that everybody was looking for. Even the Samaritans were aware of it. So what did they do? Based on her testimony about Christ, they all leave and go to where Jesus is. Now Jesus is standing there in this conversation with the disciples. And he looks up and he sees the people coming. And this is where we pick it up in verse 35. So let's look at verse 35. He says to the disciples, now keep in mind they're standing by this well, this field, and this crowd of people is coming toward him. Do you not say that there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look. When he says look here, he's actually telling them, look up. Look who's coming. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And there's where you and I need to ask ourselves, what am I looking at? What am I looking at? What do I see when I see people? When I see crowds? First started going to football games. I saw people who were getting in my way, about 80,000 of them, trying to find parking places, getting in line for tickets and getting in the stadium and then crowding me. And then, wow, I would sit there and I would think, how many of these people know Christ? That changes your attitude big time. What do you and I see today? What do we really see in people? Are they in your way as they are in mine? Or do we see people who need Christ? People who are dead in trespasses and sin. People who don't have a clue what spiritual life is. And people who don't have a clue what eternity they are facing without Christ. That's the hundreds of millions of people out there and in this city. So I first have to look at my own attitude toward people. Do I see them as people in need of the Lord Jesus Christ? With that in mind, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. As we think about sharing the Word where God has planted us and beyond. In Matthew 28, this is called the Great Commission of the Church. I like to think of it as the purpose of the Church. And in verse 18, we start with that verse. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Jesus is in complete control of everything. He is in charge. And so now, because He is in charge, what has He told you and me to do? He told the disciples this, and He's still giving us this responsibility as well. And He says, go ye therefore into all nations. Now let's stop there because he says, go. This word go is an interesting verb. It means as you go through life. It can also mean as you go on a trip, as you travel. Most of us will not be called of God to be missionaries in foreign lands. But He does call some people to do that. And if God is calling you to be to leave and go to a country, you best pack your bags and go, as opposed to being disobedient. But the vast majority of us will go to work, to school, go wherever we go in life, in a day's journey. And that's what that verb means also. As you go through life, make disciples. This is something that you and I really need to understand. God and Christ never told any human being to go save a soul. That responsibility belongs to one. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go save souls. Jesus did that when He died on the cross for our sin and was raised from the dead. That's His responsibility, and He's fulfilled that. Our responsibility is to make disciples, which means to point people to Christ. We like to be like the woman of Sychar. Hey, could this be the Christ? And we point the people to Christ. Not the church, not the denomination. To Christ. And so we take Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what He accomplished at Calvary, dying for the sin of His people and being raised from the dead, we take that message. To whom does the message go? To all nations. The word ethnos means ethnic groupings. So we go to every different ethnic group whatsoever is in this world. Everywhere. Wherever we go, we're to be the salt and the light. We're to be the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed wherever we go. Making disciples of all nations. Then they're to be baptized. That's a sign of the covenant. And then we're to teach them all things that I have taught you. And that's a responsibility of the church. To teach, to equip all of us to serve the Lord. And then Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're not alone in this. Jesus goes with you. And all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, this is not just for missionaries. This is not just for pastors. This is for believers in Jesus Christ. All of us have this responsibility. Wherever you and I go, we're to be that witness for Christ. And that's the commission given to us by the Lord Himself. Now, how do we do this? That's another matter. How do we do this? Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. And this Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is prior to the ascension of Christ back into heaven. And He tells the assembled believers there what they're supposed to do. Well, let's look at verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. The church gets caught up in all this theology. When is Jesus going to return? What is this going to happen? Don't worry about it, okay? It's taken care of. You don't worry about that. I've got that covered. This is what I'm telling you to do. Now let's look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We put a lot of emphasis on where to go, but we overlook the first phrase way too much. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power there is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. And it means the ability to go. The ability to go. And where does that ability come from? The Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we Presbyterians are scared of the Holy Spirit. I might move. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. It moves us. It empowers us. The Holy Spirit is crucial in the life of a believer. And as you and I go, we go as the Holy Spirit moves us and directs us and leads us. How is the Spirit of God moving in you and in me? How has the Spirit of God moved in you this past week? That's the crucial thing. You and I have this power. The moment someone prays to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit. Jot this passage down. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Where Jesus says that everyone who believes in Him would receive the Holy Spirit. This is after His ascension. So all of us who have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God in us. We have this ability to go. So we go as the Holy Spirit empowers us. Now, so let's look at the next step. We're to go to all nations. We're to be a witness for Jesus Christ, making disciples. We go in the power of Christ. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus calls Matthew. He restored the life to a girl, and a woman is healed. Jesus heals two blind men. And then in verse 35, look what he says. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When he saw them, he had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion because he knew what they were like spiritually, which gets back to our attitude toward the lost person. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, when you look at the news, it ought to be entitled, The Total Depravity of Mankind. And then every news story is one event of how that total depravity is working out. And it's so sad. It is so sad that people are so focused on this world and the things of the world, and the things of this world are going to make you happy and you're going to be great. But nobody ever addresses what happens to you when you die. It's always the here and now. They don't address what happens to you when you die. And Jesus saw that. Jesus had compassion on these people. He was moved with compassion. Why? For they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to lead them spiritually. They were being harassed. They were being harassed spiritually by evil spirits and evil demons. And in our sophisticated society, some of us don't believe in that, but it's taking place today. People are harassed. They're lost in sin. They're dead. So I must ask myself, do I care? Do I really care for those without Christ? And you and I know what's going to happen to them at their death without Christ. An eternity in heaven, in hell. The wrath of God on them for an eternity. That's a truth. I'm not trying to scare anybody. That's a truth. So do I have compassion on that person? Enough compassion that I will take the time to stop and talk to them about Christ. I don't want to put any guilt on anybody. Guilt's no good. It's not any good. Just think about my own attitude and my own heart. That's what we need to evaluate. Jesus says, Jesus was moved with compassion. And now look what he says. This is awesome what he says here in verse 37. And then he turned to his disciples and look what he told them. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I've got a huge harvest, but I only have a few people that will work, that will labor. And then look what he does. Look at the next thing. Now, if you and I were there and we were going by our own understanding, what would we have done? Hey, guys, go get them. Go right now. Go on. Shoot. But he doesn't say that. Look what he says to those disciples. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray earnestly. Two things about this verb to pray earnestly. The first one is to pray specifically. Pray specifically. And I would say, I would recommend this to all of us, including myself, that when we rise in the morning and start the day, we would pray, Lord, thank you for another day. And Lord, please lead me by your Spirit to someone that I can talk to about you. Or bring someone to me. Lord, I'm looking to you to accomplish that today. And then watch and see how he does it. The second thing about this word, pray earnestly, and it actually comes in the word earnestly, only in the Greek there's only one word. Pray with compassion and sincerity. Don't pray like this. Well, Lord, you know, another day, if you want me to be a witness, just send me somewhere. You really don't care. You're just praying that. You don't mean it. But when we pray with desire, Lord, please, please just let me be a witness to one person today. Just give me one, Lord. I don't care who it is. I don't care where they are, wherever I'm going, Lord. You open that door. You send me. That's what it's all about. And that's praying earnestly. And then you and I look for the Lord to answer that prayer. And it's up to Him to do the sending. I think the church is a pound of flesh, a ton of flesh. We got to save this one. We got to plant a church over here. We got to go do this and we got to go do that. And who in the world is praying about all this? Who is praying earnestly about what Lord wants us to do? We've got a mission statement. Big deal. Until we earnestly get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, if you want this to happen in this church and with me being a part of it, let's do it. Do you want that? Do you want that? Is it just an idea that the session has? Or do we all
want to do it. Because Hunter and I can't do it on our own. There's just two of us. The session can't do it. But we all do it together. But we better be praying earnestly. Where will the Lord send us? Where? He's had this church and this community pretty close to 131 years. I'd say he's got a reason for us to still be around, wouldn't you? What is it? What is it? I'm asking him every day what it is. Are you asking? If you believe the Lord has brought you here and placed you here as a part of this body, then what is your purpose for being here? And the way you and I discover that is to pray earnestly, sincerely. And it might be totally opposite to what you and I want or think. I've seen the Lord work that way a lot in my life. I'm focused on here, and He taps me on the back and says, "Hey, guy, I want you over here." What? You heard me? So pray earnestly. And what do we pray? We pray to the Lord of the harvest. We pray that He would send out the laborers. He would send them out. In 93, I was asked to go to Romania and teach in pastors' conferences. And before we got our act together, it was with World Reach and Tim Pruitt. And we prayed, we prepared, we were ready to go. And the week before we left, the pastors there said, "Don't come, because as soon as you step off the aircraft, you'll be arrested and thrown in jail." Boy, that was frustrating. We were ready. Within a week, I got a call from Tim. "Hey, would you be interested in going to Russia?" "Where?" "Russia. We got an invitation there." I was in Russia for 3 weeks doing the same thing. And the Lord blessed. And the Lord has blessed since then in that ministry. Let Him send us where He wants us. That's how we pray. And notice whose harvest He's sending us into. Not ours. Not ours. Notice it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into whose harvest? His. I have a real problem with evangelists. And with some people who have the gift of evangelism, because all they talk about are the number of people they saved. It's like they're wearing a salvation belt and they put a notch with every soul they think they've saved. I sin a lot when I have to listen to stuff like that, because it's ungodly and it's not biblical. It's His harvest. It's His work. You and I are tools in His hands that He uses. And it's the Spirit of God that quickens the heart. You know what you and I are? We're just plastic pieces of conduit. That's all we are. And you know what prevents us from being used of God? We stop ourselves up with sin and self-centeredness. We need to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And we're laborers, all of us, including myself. We are laborers into His harvest. And you know what? That might be the individual you're sitting next to at work. That might be the field He put you in. It could be the person you were going to school with. It could be your neighbor. It could be anybody. But He does the sending. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6, Paul, on his missionary journey, I see Paul as a guy with a type A personality, a little bulldog. And man, he's just eating it up. He's just going. Boom, 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 boom. But there's something about Paul that needs to be in all of us. And we see this in this passage. Look at beginning in verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What? What? The Spirit of God is saying no to go into Asia and talk to these people about Christ? Yeah, that's what He said. The Holy Spirit said, you're not going there. The Holy Spirit said, you're not going to Romania. The Holy Spirit might say to us, no, you're not going to do something over here or over there. You're going to do it over here. But how will we know if we're so full of ourselves, we think we know what we're supposed to do, and we don't pray earnestly? Let's go on. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Oh, come on, Jesus, come on. You call me to do this. You call me to go forth, and then you keep saying, no, no, no. That's right. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's going to send us where He wants us, because that's where the fruit's going to come from. Not where we think we ought to be. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Now, let's look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul. In the night, a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul had spiritual discernment. He didn't have a know-it-all attitude. He had spiritual discernment to go where the Holy Spirit was leading him. When I was in Russia, I was in Uslubinsk in a pastor's conference. And this was on Saturday. And I was thinking I would be there for a while. And this young man came to me and said, you're going with me and this young lady over here to Novorossiysk on the Black Sea. Let's leave now. Standing there thinking, oh yeah, right. And so I got with Jim Scott and Boto Hines. Boto will be here in October. And we were talking about what in the world is going on here. So the two seasoned missionaries, Jim Scott and Boto, voted to send me to Novorossiysk by myself. Boy, that was scary. Two Russians, one could speak English. So I said, okay, let's go. I got in the car and I said, God help me, I can't speak this language. I hope this guy knows what he's doing. So we head down about a 3-hour drive to the Black Sea. So we're going down and beautiful scenery in the mountains as we got toward the Black Sea. And all of a sudden, this guy turns left off the main highway. I said, oh, I'm dead. I'm dead. And we wind on this little road and we come up to this house that just had several cars. This is awesome. I walk into the house and there may be 6 or 8 people on their knees praying. Couldn't understand a thing. And they looked up at me, and the two with me, and they burst into tears. I thought, what's going on here? They have been praying for the Lord to send someone to teach them. Wow. I didn't know what to do. And the driver told them something. I don't know what he said. The young lady explained to me, we don't have time for you to stay here and teach
a full-blown lesson, but teach them something. I can handle that one. And I taught them about Jesus Christ, John 3:16. We were there maybe 30 minutes and I left. Earnestly pray to the Lord of harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. The next question, am I willing to go when He calls me? Am I willing to go where He sends me? I wasn't real excited about going down there by myself. But I spent a week in Novorossiysk in a Bible conference in a Baptist church teaching the Word. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. 2-hour sessions, no break. I remember the first night I talked for an hour and I stopped and to give the people a break. And this gentleman sitting up here, he rattled something off in Russian. And my translator or interpreter turned to me and said, "Son, keep teaching. Why are you stopping? We can take it." And I said, "You can take it, but I'm in the States and I'm used to teaching 2 hours in seminary. If I did that in church, I wouldn't have a job." Next week, we start for 2 hours. That was interesting. That was interesting. Brothers and sisters, we've been commissioned by God to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. Where? I don't know where. I don't know what He's going to do with us. I don't have a clue. But I do know something. He didn't save us to sit in these pews. That wasn't His purpose. Yeah, part of it is being here on the Lord's Day and worshiping Him and honoring Him and being spiritually refreshed and renewed and to fellowship with the Lord and with brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, that's a vital part of it, but that's not all of it. He's commissioned us to get out there and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I tell every one of you, elders, deacons, myself and Hunter and every one of you, first thing we need to do is to pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send us into the harvest. And I would ask all of you to pray for one another along those lines. And then we will all watch and see where the Lord sends us. But it's got to begin with prayer. Earnest prayer. Sincere prayer. Will you do that? Will you do it? Beginning today, not tomorrow. This afternoon, I would like for all of us to get in our closet, or maybe families, husbands and wives, get together and earnestly pray. Lord, we're supposed to pray, send us. Send us into Your harvest. Please do that. And You don't define where you go. You let the Lord define that. And you watch where He sends you on a daily basis. And we watch as a part of the body of Christ where He's going to send us in this neighborhood. And then we will watch and see what missionaries God sends to us to pray for and to support financially. But we will all be focused on the Lord. Not just a group in the church, a missions committee that's charged with the responsibility of overseeing it. And they decide which one goes where? No, it's a moving of the Spirit of God. And you and I need to pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. But you know, we got to look at the laborer. We got to look at the laborer. The laborer has to be a believer in Jesus Christ.
The laborer is one who trusts in Christ alone for salvation. And that's where we really begin. It's Jesus Christ, your Savior. You're trusting in Him alone for salvation. And if you're doing that, you are a laborer of Jesus Christ. And then you're responsible to pray earnestly. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't trust Him as Savior, you're not a laborer. You were one of those sheep without a shepherd. You're one of those who are being harassed. Come to Christ. And if you're not sure about that, at the close of this service, I want to talk to you. I really do. About Jesus Christ. That you may become a laborer. And then you will join with us in praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest. And then we're going to watch what the Lord does. And it's going to be awesome. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for our worship today. The privilege of coming into your presence to praise your holy and majestic name and to present our petitions and our praises and our thanksgivings to you in prayer, to give tithes and offerings for your work to go forth in this place and into this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then to be instructed from your word by your Holy Spirit. Father, you have indeed spoken to every one of us here today. And I pray that what you have taught us and what you've placed on our heart, you will empower us by your Spirit to walk in obedience to your message to us. And Father, for brothers and sisters in Christ here in this part of your church, as we are laborers together in your kingdom, oh, how I earnestly pray that you will send forth laborers into your harvest and empower us by your Spirit to go. Father, as we sing this closing hymn, move clearly in our hearts to follow you even closer. And I pray for those maybe who just discovered they're not trusting in the Lord Jesus as Savior, but their own good works. Bring them to yourself, Father, as you would work in their hearts by your Spirit. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this closing hymn, reflect on what the Holy Spirit has taught you and respond to His call in your life. Shall we stand as we sing? Remember the words of Christ. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go make disciples of all nations. Look, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.